grow close in the spirit, Lord God, just to so that we can be about your business, Heavenly Father, and as to go out into labor and to be fruitful, Heavenly Father, and to just show that light that you have put in us, Heavenly Father, that we not hide it, but we may place it on the stand, Lord God, and it may shine bright unto this dark world. This is our prayer, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, Riverside family. Turn your Bibles to Esther chapter 4, the book of Esther chapter 4, found in the Old Testament, as we continue our sermon series this morning for such a time as this, with a lesson entitled Choices. If you haven't been with us in the past couple of weeks, I'll just give you a brief recap of where we're at. In this point of time in Israel's history, they are in captivity in Persia. They were captured by Babylon, but Babylon was taken over by Persia. And so the children of Israel find themselves in a foreign land of Persia. There they are ruled by a king, Xerxes. Xerxes is not a godly man. He's a man of the world. He is full of arrogance and pride and power. He's very extremely wealthy, and he rules his kingdom very harshly at times, so much so that he expels the king, Vashti, when she does not please him. He then kind of sets up a beauty pageant to proclaim a new queen, which God providentially allows Esther, a young Jewish woman living there in Persia, she becomes the queen of Persia. God is working through all this. Esther has a cousin named Mordecai who's raised her since she was a young girl. Mordecai is a godly man. He lives there within the kingdom, and he and Esther are extremely close. Again, Mordecai is a man of God. He worships God. He follows God. Mordecai is someone who always tries to do things right. One day, Mordecai comes across Haman. Haman is an official in Xerxes' kingdom. He is the second in command. He is powerful. He is arrogant. He is wealthy. And a proclamation goes out that when Haman passes by, the people are to bow down. But Mordecai refuses to bow down to Haman. Haman sees this. This enrages Haman. Haman goes to Xerxes, convinces Xerxes that Mordecai is part of a race of people within the kingdom that need to be wiped out for the kingdom to flourish. So Xerxes sends out an edict stating that all of the Jewish people will be slaughtered at a certain point here in the near future. And that's where we pick up this morning's story with the ramifications of Xerxes' decision. But what you need to remember about Esther from the beginning to the end is God is seeing all of this, and God is working through all of this. And the same God that works in Esther's story using Xerxes and Mordecai and Haman is the same God that works in your story. God knows you, he loves you, he likes you, and he is working in your life if you are a child of his. You have not been forgotten by God. You have not been ignored by God. He is working in your life. God sees and works through all. And we will continue to see that in this morning's story as we pick up in chapter 4 of the book of Esther, beginning in verse 1. The decree has gone out that the Jewish people will be extinguished. Esther 4, verse 1. Mordecai learned of all that had been done. He tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city wailing loudly and bitterly. And this is a sign of mourning back in Old Testament times among the Jewish people. They would wear ashes, wear sackcloth, and mourn publicly. Verse 2, but he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. And every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes, and the Jewish people are devastated by Xerxes' proclamation. They know that Xerxes seeks to exterminate them. They know that they will be slaughtered. They know that this mass genocide is coming, and they are mourning with sackcloth and ashes, and Mordecai is no exception. The sin of Haman and the sin of Xerxes has consequences, and we know that every sin begins with a choice. Every sin we choose to do. Sin never happens to you accidentally. Sin is always a choice. Whether you gossip, whether you lie, whether you look at something online that you shouldn't be looking at, whether you speak harshly of someone else, whether you act violently against someone, sin is always a choice. You can never say, I don't know how that happened. That was an accident. Sin is a choice, and sin always has consequences. Every sin has consequences. Often our sin has consequences to others, such as when we gossip or lie about someone else, that negatively affects their reputation to people we gossip and lie about. When we act harshly towards someone else, it impacts our relationship with them. When we choose to do immoral things, it hurts our reputation among people who know us, who know what we do. Every sin that we commit has a consequence. And you may be sitting there this morning or listening online saying, well, what about sins that no one finds out about? There are sins that we do that we can keep hidden. Every sin has a consequence because every sin damages our relationship with God. When we are doing things that do not bring glory to God, it has a negative impact on us. So don't sit there and think that there are some sins that have no consequences. Every sin that we commit has a consequence, often for others, but always for ourselves. And so every sin is a choice, and every sin has consequences. And we see this in the book of Esther. Xerxes and Haman's sin is a decision that they make, and it has consequences not only for them, but for an entire group of people living within the kingdom. Dire consequences. And so there is this mass grieving that we see from Mordecai and the Jewish people. Let's look at verse 4, Esther 4:4. When Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. And the third thing we see about sin is every sin leads to grief. Mordecai and the Jewish people, they are in mourning. Esther, remember, Esther's living in the palace, and she's isolated from all this. Again, back in the Persian Empire, back then, women were kind of treated as property, and they were kind of moved around, and so Esther has no contact with Mordecai. She has had no discussion with him, and she's really unaware of what's happened in the kingdom. All she knows is she has this report that her cousin Mordecai is in great mourning, and she wants to stop his mourning, but she doesn't understand that every sin leads to grief, and this great sin has been done. We see that every sin leads to grief. Keep your finger there in Esther chapter 4, but flip over to Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Back over to the New Testament, Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Let's talk about the grief that is a result of sin. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Every sin we commit grieves the Holy Spirit of God. What does that sin look like? Let's read on. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every kind of malice. Those are sins that grieve the Spirit of God. When we commit a sin, it grieves the Spirit of God. When something does not bring glory to God, it grieves the Spirit of God. And so every sin leads to grief. Paul concludes this little section by saying, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. That's what we should look like. And when we don't look like, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Every sin leads to grief. It brings us grief. It will bring others grief. It brings the Holy Spirit grief. And many of you in your lives, in your story that God knows, have experienced grief because of someone else's sin. You have felt relationships disintegrate. You have seen marriages dissolve. You have seen addiction run rampant. You have felt the consequences of someone else's sin. But truth be told, we've also felt the consequences of our sin, because we've been the one in the relationship to act out and dissolve the relationship. We have been the ones who weren't faithful in our marriage. We have been the ones who've given into addiction, and we've brought grief into someone else's life. Every sin is a choice. Every sin has a consequence. And every sin leads to grief. And here's just a little aside. We must respond to grief with patience and compassion. Notice what Esther does. She sees that Mordecai is grieving. What does she want to do? She wants to fix things. We don't handle grief very well, do we? Grief is kind of awkward for us. And even in today's culture, when someone passes away or something tragic happens and someone is grieving, often we want to fix it for them. We want to tell them that it's all going to be okay, or we want to try to placate their grief. There are times we just need to let people grieve and sit beside them in their grief. Esther loves Mordecai. That's her cousin. He's raised her. She doesn't want to see him grieving, and so she goes and tries to fix it. But there's sometimes you can't fix grief. You just need to let it play itself out. And so in our culture today, even 2,000 years later, even longer than that to Esther's time, we try to placate grief. We got to learn to be patient and compassionate with grief and let people grieve. Sometimes grief needs to happen. It needs to happen over a period of time. Esther's just trying to fix Mordecai. Sometimes you can't fix grief. You got to be patient and compassionate with grief. Going on into the story, Esther 4, 5 through 8. Let's read the next little section here. Beginning in verse 5, Esther finds out that Mordecai is grieving. She sends close to him. He refuses them. Verse 5, then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. Again, Esther doesn't know. She just knows Mordecai is grieving. So she sends Hathach to find out what's going on. Now, the cool thing about this is Hathach, the name Hathach means truth, which is a neat little element of this story. The name Hathach means truth, and Hathach's going to go find out the truth. What's going on with Mordecai? Continuing on in verse 6, so Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gates. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to urge her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. So Hathach goes out, he meets with Mordecai, and Mordecai says, this is what is going on. This is the truth of the matter. And what we also find out about sin is always revealed by the truth. The truth will always be revealed. Esther doesn't realize what has happened. She hasn't heard of Xerxes' edict. She doesn't know of the evilness of Haman. All she knows is Mordecai has been grieving. She sends Hathach out, and Hathach finds out the truth. Sin will always be found out by truth. And so if you're here this morning thinking, well, I can get away with this. No one's going to know this. It's not ever going to be revealed. Understand the truth always wins out. Your sin will be revealed. You can't hide sin. Truth wins out. Esther doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't know the truth. She doesn't know the sin, but shortly she will. Mordecai tells Hathach all that's happened to the kingdom, the edict of Xerxes. Not only does he tell Hathach, he gives him a copy of the edict. Take this to Esther. Show her what's going on. This is the truth. There is a sin being committed against us. You have got to go tell Esther what she needs to do. Hathach, again, is loyal to Esther. He has been with her. He is her servant. He does what Mordecai says. He goes back. Look at verse 9. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai. And again, think about Esther's position here. Esther is a young Jewish girl living in a foreign land, married to an arrogant, hostile, ungodly king. She looks at the circumstance, and this is what she says to Mordecai. Verse 11, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. In other words, even the queen couldn't go to the king. This is how strict that culture was. The queen essentially was property. You could not go to your husband as queen and discuss a matter with him. you had to be invited in. And if you went into the king's chambers without being invited, the penalty was death. And this is what Esther's facing. Esther knows the law. She knows the deal. And Esther's just letting Mordecai know, hey, look, if I do this, the penalty is death. Continuing on, the only exception to this is for the king to extend the gold scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. And Esther says, you know, I can go in, and if he raises his scepter, then I'll be allowed. But Mordecai, it's been 30 days since I've even seen the man. This isn't your typical marriage like we think about marriage. And so Esther here is afraid. And the fact of the matter is, living by fear is a choice. Esther is allowing her fear to influence her here, and it's a valid fear. And there are fears that crop up in our lives that are valid from time to time. We know something's not right within our body, and so we go to the doctor, and the doctor agrees and says, look, we got to run some tests. That's a moment of fear. That's a valid fear. There are times when we have a job and things are going well, but the economy goes into a downturn and we get called into the boss's office and those words come out, man, you're a really good employee, but. And we find ourselves laid off and we don't know how we're going to pay our bills and we don't know what the future holds. And that is a valid fear. We have kids that we're trying to raise to be followers of Jesus, but we see what this culture is like and what this culture holds, and we wonder how what's going to happen to them and how they're going to be influenced, and that is a valid fear. There are fears we face every day that are valid fears. The choice is, are we going to live by fear? There are fears that we're going to face that Satan is going to try to use to rob us of our joy and to distract us and to stress us out and cause us to live in worry and grief. We have a choice to live in fear. And that's where Satan wants us to live. Satan wants nothing better than for a group of Christians to live in fear and not in faith. Living by fear is a choice, and I don't want to downplay Esther's situation. She has every reason to be fearful. But you can choose to live in fear or just be aware of the fears that we face. And there is a difference. People who live in fear constantly live stressed out, worried, lives of agony and stress. And that is in no way the life that God wants us to live. If that describes you this morning, stressed out, worried, scared to death, that is not God's life for you. We are not called to live in fear. But that's where Esther's at right now. She's a young girl. She's scared to death. She says, Mordecai, you know, if I go in without being summoned, I can be killed. And if I go in and he doesn't raise the scepter, then I can be killed. And I haven't seen him in 30 days. That's over 4 weeks. I've just been hanging out here in the palace. I haven't had any communication with him. Mordecai, I'm scared. So what does Mordecai do here? Mordecai is a godly man, and Mordecai lives by faith. And here's his response beginning in verse 12. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. In other words, Esther, what is happening to us will happen to you. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And Mordecai knows Scripture. He knows that the Jews are the children of God. He knows that the Jews will be delivered by God. He goes, I'm convinced that deliverance will come in some form or fashion. God will provide. God will always provide. But if you don't do this, Esther, look at the consequences for you. But you and your father's family will perish. God is going to take care of his people, but if you don't do this, you're going to be part of those who perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. And that is the verse from Scripture of Esther that we all know. You have come to position for such a time as this. In other words, Mordecai is saying, Esther, don't live by fear, live by faith. God is working in this, and I believe that he has made you queen for such a time as this. Living by fear is a choice, but living by faith is a choice. And you can choose what you're going to live by. You can choose to live in fear and live scared and live stressed and live worried. That's not God's plan for your life. Or you can choose to live by faith, knowing no matter what comes your way, that God is working in your life. God loves you. He has a plan for your life. And he is with you always. That no matter what comes your way, God is walking beside you. And he's telling Esther, he says, Esther, I believe this has all happened for you to be in this position. Keep your faith in God and allow him to use you for his glory. But Esther, you got a choice. You can live in fear and you cannot do this and allow you and your father's family to be wiped out. Or you can live in faith knowing that God has been working in this all along and see what God can do. Living by fear is a choice. Living by faith is also a choice. And so I want to ask you this morning, what position has God placed you in? None of us here are the Queen of Persia. I get that. But God has placed you in a position in your life. And as you think about that position, what is God calling you to do? When you think about your position at work, how can you use your position at work to bring glory to God? Why does he have you working where you're working? Because there's a reason for that. I know several of our students are starting school back this week. Some started last week, and some will start here in a couple weeks. But I want to ask the students among us this morning, why does God have you in the school that you're in? It's my belief that it's not accident, it's not happenstance. God has you in your school for a reason. And yes, that's to learn stuff, but it's also for a divine purpose. What can you do for God this school year in your school? Why do you live in the neighborhood that you live in or the apartment complex that you live in? Why do you live there? Is it because it was a nice house or a nice apartment? No, I believe God's put you there for a divine purpose and a divine reason. God is working through all of this. So what position are you in? What position do you hold? And what can God do in that position? And where do you see faith versus fear in your life? I know there's some here this morning who are listening online, and right now, man, you're facing some fearful things. I know some of your stories, and I know the obstacles that are in your life right now, and the stress that is mounting, and I know some of the uncertainty that some of us are living with. But are you going to choose to go with fear? Or are you going to choose to go with faith? Because if you choose to go with faith, you remind yourself constantly, almost hourly at times, that God is with me. And because God is with me, I'm not going to live in stress. I'm not going to live in worry. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to live by faith. It's a choice we make. Or you can choose to live in fear. And let me tell you, when you live in fear, it doesn't make things better. It just creates more stress and tension. So this morning, to internalize this lesson, where do you see faith versus fear in your life? What is happening in your story? And where do you need to walk in faith versus walking in fear? Continuing on, Mordecai gives his response to Esther. So again, Esther has a choice, and so much of life is about choices. It's the choices we make. Esther, the story of Esther is just a story of choice after choice after choice after choice, good, bad, and ugly. But that's our lives. Every single man or woman of God that I've seen that has grown up in maturity and the faith and are examples for me of what a disciple should be that has never happened by accident. I've never seen a mature Christian strong in the faith, and when I've asked them how they got there, for them to say, I don't know how that happened, it just happened. Every mature Christian that I've seen that is walking with God and in his example of what a kingdom person should be has told me, well, I had to discipline myself. I had to give myself over to prayer and to God's word, and I had to choose to walk in faith, and I had to choose to cut some things out of my life that shouldn't be there. I had to make some choices to get around that. You know, I had to choose to get involved with the church and not just show up, but get involved and get involved in some ministries. I had to choose to do that. I had to choose to make some sacrifices. I had to choose to let go of some stuff in order to grab on some stuff that was better. But I've never met a disciple of Jesus Christ who's walking with God and have it happen by happenstance. It's always about choices. So what choices are we making? Because right now Esther has a choice. Mordecai says, Esther, here it is. You have been put in this position. What are you going to do? Esther has a choice. Let's look in verse 15. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. And Esther says, I'm choosing to live by faith. And if it kills me, it kills me. But I will go to the king walking by faith. And she sends this message to Mordecai. Esther chooses to let go of her fear and to walk by faith. She had a choice to make. Fear or faith, she chose faith. Life is about choices. But what I love about Esther is she doesn't do this alone. Notice what she tells Mordecai. I want you to gather other people. I need prayer. I need you to fast. I need you to lift this up to God. This is hard for me. I need to be covered in prayer. She says, I need other people praying for me. And we need the same thing here. When we are struggling in life, we need people to pray for us and hold us to the Father. Esther, at a young age, realizes the wisdom of godly community. She realizes the importance of having people pray for you, to fast for you. And so she calls people to fast. And when we choose to live in community with other disciples, our faith increases to face our fear. And Esther knows she's not alone in this. She has a whole community, a whole nation fasting and praying for her. And it increases her faith. And when you choose to live in community with other disciples and they are praying for you and with you, man, it just increases your faith. You know that God's with you, but you know that other people are with you. You're not alone in this journey. So this morning, I just want to ask you a couple of questions as we close. How are you choosing to live? Honestly, as you're living life right now, how are you choosing to live? Are you living with faith? Or are you living with fear? Are you living with God? Are you living apart from God? Life is about choices. How you're living isn't an accident. You chose to get where you're at. And I know there's things that are poured into our life that because of other people's choices, again, that impact our life. But even then, we choose how to respond to that, don't we? Life is about choices. How are you choosing to live? And then you need to ask yourself, what changes do you need to make? As you reflect upon your life and the choices you're making and how you're living, what changes do you need to make? Are there some things you need to take out of your life? Maybe there's some relationships in your life right now that are pulling you away from God. You can choose to cut those relationships. There is no relationship in your life that is so important it should lead you away from God. For some of us, we need to cut some relationships. For some of us, it's an addiction right now that has overwhelmed us and is overpowering us, and we made that choice to enter into that. And again, no one enters into addiction knowing the end result of it, but we choose to walk down that road and that path and then we find ourselves overwhelmed. If you're battling an addiction this morning, you can choose to get help. You're not confined to that addiction. Again, we are not called to live in addiction. So if you're battling addiction this morning and you think that there's no hope for you, with God on your side, there is always hope for you. You can choose a path of healing. And if you're battling addiction this morning, Danny would love to get with you and talk to you about how you can get off that path. Maybe for some of us, we need a new work environment because our work environment is just not conducive to a healthy relationship with God. And that's where the fear crops up. Well, if I leave this job, what's going to happen to me? If you're doing it for a godly reason, God has you. He will lead you where you need to be. But so often we hear a sermon about choices and we know the changes we have to make and we leave here and we go back to status quo. For some of us, we don't need any more status quo. We need to make some choices, to make some changes, to get ourselves right with God in our relationships and what we're allowing into our lives. What choices and what changes do you need to make? Because here's the simple fact of it. God honors our choices. He does. God honors our choices. And if you choose to live apart from Him, God will honor your choice. And He will also allow the consequences of that into your life. And so God honors our choices. God will never force you into a relationship with Him. God wants a love relationship with you, not an authority relationship with you. God's not going to force you to love Him. God's not going to force you to serve Him. You have to choose that. But when you choose that, you will be blessed over and over again by having God in your life. But you have to choose that. And so if you choose not to be with God, if you choose to go a different path, God's going to honor that. God's not going to force you in a relationship with Him. God's going to say, okay, you chose that path. And then God's going to step back and let your life play out, and you'll see the consequences of that. Not only here upon this earth, but eternally. But God's not going to force you in a relationship with Him. You have to choose that. So have you chosen God this morning? I think for a lot of us, we've tried to live our own ways for too long, and now we're in this mess. Here's the incredible thing about God. You can choose God today. Now, you may look at me and say, well, Lance, I haven't chose God for 50 years. Why would He allow me to choose Him now? His love and grace are amazing. And if you've rejected God for 60 years, on your 60th year and first day, you can still choose God. And He will love you. You can always choose God. His mercies are new every morning. So no matter what choices you've made in your life, and I know some of you are sitting there saying or listening online saying, but you don't know the choices I've made. I've done some really dark stuff. And you should see the relationships in my wake. You should see some of the stuff that I've done in my life. You should see some of the things that I've said. You should see some things that I've done. Lance, you don't understand. I'm too far gone. You are never too far gone for the grace of God. And if you choose Him, man, He will love you and change your life. But will you choose Him? When we choose to face our fears with faith by living in godly community, God can do incredible work through our choices. What choices will you make this morning? Life is all about choices. So you can choose God or not choose God. But I can tell you this, God longs for you to choose Him. He loves you so much, He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. We were not created to live fearful, stressed out, worrisome lives. Instead, we were choose to live forgiven, grace-filled lives because of what Christ did for us on the cross. And we as God's people have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Why should we ever choose to live in fear? There is nothing, and I promise you this, there is nothing that will come up in your life that God cannot help you through. Let God choose God to walk with you. For some of you, you need to make that choice this morning to be baptized for the remission of your sins, to begin that journey with God. The baptistry is ready. Choose Him this morning. Choose Jesus to be your Savior. Choose Him to be the Lord of your life. And you'll experience the blessings of living with God. Maybe this morning you just need some prayers of strength that God will allow you to make the right choices, because I know it's difficult sometimes. Sometimes in our stories, things get so twisted and confused that, man, sometimes we just need prayers, again, of a godly community to surround us and help us make the difficult choices we need to make. We are a praying church, and whether you're a member at Riverside or not a member at Riverside, if you come forward this morning, we will pray with you and for you. Amen. That you will make the right choices in your life. What will you choose this morning? How will you live? Let's think about that as we stand.
His back.